Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week. Time, we're going to try to get some Bibles in your hands. So if you would like to get a Bible, please get their attention. We will be in a couple places this morning. We'll begin in Exodus 19. So if you want to make your way there, if you want to get a Bible and do that, please feel free to do that. One more thing that I always give you instructions about, I think you know it, and that is that the fellowship pad should be somewhere in your seats. I'd like you to take that fellowship pad, fill it out, let us know that you're here. I might need that later. I'm just kidding. One would be good. Take that fellowship pad and fill it out. And we're just glad to know that you're here. And then please write your prayer requests. We would love to pray for you, and we'll do that this very week. I told you earlier, this is a day of consecration, a day of dedication, if you would. And we have already dedicated this place to the Lord. We have prayed for it. And we've said this is a place we want to set apart to use for you, Lord. I don't know whether you've ever had that experience where you went away for vacation and, you know, you just got that new gallon of milk, so you left it thinking that when you got back, it would be good probably. And then you opened it up and it was not good. It was sour. I mean, I can smell it just telling you about that. I can smell it in my nose. You know, it was gross. The point is simply this. What a waste of a good gallon of milk, right? Imagine this. Imagine this amazing container you made for life-giving milk, and then the milk inside of it was sour. What I'm saying is this. God has given us a nice place. We're thankful. But you and I are the contents. You and I are what's inside of it. The scripture says we are the church. The Greek word is ekklesia. We translate it church. It means we are the called out ones, called out of the world. We are the set apart ones. We are set apart for God's glory. So just imagine we have this beautiful facility, but the people inside of it are sour. They aren't ready for God's work. They aren't giving themselves to him. And so this morning, before we talk about mission and vision and resetting our course, there's some work of consecration to be done. And that work is for you and I to consecrate ourselves to the Lord anew. In the book of Exodus, God has led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage. And he did it miraculously. He did it by bringing plagues that came to the Egyptians, and finally they said, you know, go, we don't want you here anymore. And then he led them to the Red Sea, where he spread the water of the Red Sea so they could walk through, and then he caused the Red Sea to collapse on the army of the Egyptians. So he has done some miraculous things for them. And I want to pick up and read Exodus chapter 19, because they have been released from Egypt, and here's where we find them. On the third new moon, this is chapter 19, verse 1 of Exodus. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai. They encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain. While Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." And so Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down from the Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." Wow. God said, I have carried you like on eagle's wings, and now I'm saying to you, if you will just obey me, if you'll keep my covenant, you will be my special treasure. And you will be a kingdom of priests, and you will be a holy nation. Does that sound familiar? It should, because Peter said very close to the same thing to the New Testament church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ gets sealed by the Holy Spirit. And everyone who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gets adopted. Being adopted is great. You get to take on the family name. When we are adopted into his family, we take on the name of God. We're his people. We get to be his. So the text I want to look at this morning is in Titus chapter 2, way in the back. So if you want to make your way there, just start from the back, work your way back to Titus right after Timothy. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possessions who are zealous for good works." Let me tell you where we're going this morning. I'm going to encourage you to consecrate yourself to the Lord again today. That's where we're headed. It's a simple thing. It's a work that has to be done. And the work of consecration is to cleanse yourself. It's to dedicate yourself. It's to sacrifice yourself. It's to make some decisions that you're going to follow through with and say, "I'm going to be what God wants me to be." We've already talked about his salvation in communion. So he brought us that wonderful grace, and that's our starting point. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is cleansing yourself. Let me clarify this, because people get these instructions crooked pretty quickly. Now, first of all, you and I cannot earn our forgiveness. You got that, right? So when I say cleanse yourself, I'm not saying forgive yourself for sins. That's not it. That's God's job. He does it. And when I say cleanse yourself, I'm also not talking about sanctifying you. Because sanctification is also the job that God does. It means that he changes us from the inside out. Now, you and I, we can kind of reform ourselves a little bit. What I mean by that is that we can pick a behavior and we can work on it, right? We do that. So we go, you know what? I need to be more patient. So I'm going to work on patience. And we work on patience. And then this stuff just kind of gets inside of us and starts to bubble. And we're really patient. We keep being patient and it bubbles a little more. And we get patient and we keep being patient. And it's really hard work and it's bubbling a little more. And then someone says something and we blow up. It all comes out and we're not patient. And that's the best we can do on our own. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the change that comes when you and I surrender ourselves to God. We don't talk about that enough. Following Jesus is always about surrender. So when we surrender ourselves to him and we say, "You lead, you guide, I'm going to follow." I'll give you another example, because when God changes something in you, you just go, oh, that's different. And you recognize it. This year, we've talked about wounds, lies, vows, and strongholds a lot. And God has been dealing with me in kind of my own frustration and anger that comes out when I have a bad day. And I've thought it through a lot this year. And I'm noticing changes, which is really cool. I had a bad day during the Christmas break. I'm just going to tell you. I have a leak in my bathroom shower. And I have worked on everything on that side I could get done. And the backside of that wall is a headboard that I built with all these electronics in it. It's really cool. I like it a lot. And in order to get to those pipes, I have to cut that thing in half and rip it out. And so finally I said, okay, got to do it. Ripped it out. Not one of those stupid pipes were leaking. And now I've done it for nothing. And you know what? I had a bad day. But there were some things that were different. I mean, immediately from the moment it happened, I thought to myself, I don't have to be a jerk about this. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. And then I thought to myself, oh, I haven't blamed God for any of this yet. I mean, I usually am pretty well down the road going, oh, God, how could you let these things happen to me? I'm, you know, your servant. I mean, I'm wow, that's not happening either. Bonnie could be, she'd go, are you okay? I said, no, I'm having a bad day. But it's just me, and tomorrow I'm going to be okay. And we're gonna, see what I'm saying is, when God changes stuff in you, you recognize it. But your job and my job to cleanse ourselves comes in verse 12. Here's what he says. We are to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. It's another way to say repent of. We're to look at things in our life and go, God, that's not what I want in me. And I need to repent of that. I mean, I could pretend like I was having a good day, but I wasn't. But I also didn't have to be a jerk, and I didn't blame God at all. And I was like, wow, this is new. One of the main problems we have in our lives is we have an allegiance problem. We try to serve two masters. We try to have one foot in the world and one foot on God's plane. Here's what 2 Timothy 2:20 to 21 says. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Cleansing ourselves before the Lord, renouncing things that we have in our lives that aren't good, is saying, Lord, I want to be honorable. I want to put away the dishonorable things in my life, and I want to move towards you. And the dishonorable thing that we pursue is we pursue pleasing ourselves. And we pursue the things of this world. I have noticed something that's really interesting to me, and that is when I pursue things in the world and they don't go well, I blame God. That seems odd to me, but it also seems like a pattern. Timothy is saying that we are to be honorable vessels. We are to give ourselves to the Lord. You would never think of taking the tongs you use to make bacon and then go out in the backyard and use the tongs to clean up after the dog, right? I mean, you wouldn't do that, would you? And he's saying, here's the deal. You say that you're set apart for God, that you're going to set your part aside and be his, and then you keep running back to the stuff in the world, to the dishonorable things. And I can't tell who you are. David Wells in Our Daily Bread a while back said these words. He said, worldliness is what any particular culture does to make sin seem normal and righteousness seem strange. We live in a compromised pseudo-Christian culture. We have verbiage about God, but very little of his commands. We have verbiage about God, but very few who are committed to him. And so the normalization of sin is what worldliness does. It makes it normal. And worldliness always puts pressure on the church, not on the building, on us as the church. Theological pressure. Oh, you don't believe that Bible, do you? People, men wrote that. Everybody interprets it differently. We have this pressure. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a pressure in the world that says, oh, don't, because if you follow it, there are commands and rules you got to follow. You know that, right? So don't follow that. There's this pressure to compromise. We are now in about the 60th year of the sexual revolution. There is one thing for sure in the sexual revolution, and that is it is absolutely taboo to tell anybody that their sexual practice is not in line with Scripture. Any practice, it's taboo to say that. See, I can guarantee you, if you begin to compromise your life, it's interesting how you'll become critical of God at the same time. The three marks of a moral revolution, Theo Hobson said, what was universally condemned is now celebrated. What was universally celebrated is now condemned, and those who refuse to celebrate are condemned. Do you understand that friendship with the world is enmity between you and God? Are you living with one foot saying, God, I want to be yours, and the other foot saying, no, I want to be mine in the world? Where are you living? What about moral compromise? Does it matter? Does it matter whether you stay sexually pure, faithful? Let me ask it a different way. Does it matter to you if your pastors do? Does it matter to you if we live lives that are just a veneer of goodness, but inside we're doing all kind of things that are far from God? Does that matter? I think it matters. I think it matters because it tears down something good. You see, spiritual leadership is meant to give you someone who will look after you, who will care for you, who will have your best in mind. Even from the picture of headship, it was all about a man cherishing and nourishing a woman and making her position safe and secure. Women don't run from that. But our culture tells us it's crazy. We have these things. To get more of God, do you understand? To get more of God, you have to let go of stuff in this world. It's a simple exchange. To get more of God, you have to let go of more of the stuff in this world. Bishop J.C. Ryle said this, there's a common worldly kind of Christianity in this day which many have and think they have enough. A cheap Christianity which offends nobody, requires no sacrifice, costs nothing, and by the way, is worth nothing. So cleanse yourself. Repent of these things. Throw them off. 2 Corinthians 7:1, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit and bring holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. I'm praying that you will have discernment today to discern what things are in you that are keeping you from knowing God more, from experiencing His grace. Second, dedicate yourself to the Lord. Titus 2, beginning in the end of verse 12. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for the blessed hope and the appearing of glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know that He's not calling you to try to live a sinless life, don't you? You know that right now, don't you? He's not asking you to live a sinless life. He's asking you to live a sold-out life. There's a difference. He's asking you to say, I want to dedicate myself to You, Lord. A life that is not just yours. It's my life. That's what our culture tells us. A life that's not just fixed on stuff you want, things you think you need, things you desire, but a life that's fixed on dedicating yourself to the Lord's work and whatever He calls you to. Henry Varley said to his new friend D.L. Moody, "Moody, the world is yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him." Moody said those words were piercing to him. And he said to himself, "I will be that man." Do you know what a Nazirite is? A Nazirite in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well was someone who made a vow. Well, what they actually did was they said, "I want to consecrate myself for a time to the Lord. I'm going to dedicate myself. I'm going to put away things that I can have in order to get closer to the God whom I love. To put aside stuff that's okay to do." Do you understand? Sometimes in faith, following Christ, we're to put away stuff that's okay. The Christian life isn't like, what's the rules for things I can't sin in? I'm going to get as close as I can. That is not the Christian life. It's how do I put things away so I can have more of God? I am set apart for you, Lord. So we dedicate ourselves to his service. We dedicate ourselves to his work. There's kind of a motto, if you would. You could say it this way: well, you are welcome to, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to set it apart. You know what I don't do? I don't ever stay out late on Saturday nights and come to church tired. That probably makes sense, doesn't it? I don't do that. Most Saturdays, you'll find me right here in my office going over the message. And I just have had my first time in 2005 to come in here and pray for you. And I beg God. I say, use me. God, if you don't speak, nothing's happening. I pray for you who are sick. And God brings you to mind. I just pray for you. I pray for people who in our congregation who are stuck and have something binding them up, whether it's bitterness or sorrow or an addiction, and I pray for God to release you. It's my favorite time. I love it. I meet him here. Does that mean that God does not allow me to go out on Saturday night? No. It means I found something better. To dedicate yourself means to trade things you could have to have more of God. What about sacrifice? 2:14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possessions, who are zealous for good works. I know how you think. You hear that phrase, oh, we're supposed to be zealous for good works. You missed the point. He said he purified us, not for good works. He purified us to be his special possession, to be his, and to be zealous for good works that he gives you then. There's a difference. See, you and I can go, well, God, I'm going to do these six things for you because I know these are good things, and I'm doing these, and you'll just be so pleased with me, God. Oh, by the way, don't ask me to forgive that guy because I'm not going to. And don't ask me to stop being critical because I'm going to keep being critical. But I'm going to do these six things for you. You see what that is? That is not this at all. He says he purified us to become his possession. He purified us to be his. He purified us so we would say, Lord, I'm yours. I am the sacrifice. Today, I am sacrificing the things I wanted. This is about sacrificing your agenda. This is about sacrificing all the stuff you're sure you have to be happy. This is about sacrificing that bitterness you've been holding on to for a long time and saying, no, instead, I'm gonna crawl on the altar voluntarily, Lord, because I want my life to be yours. and I want you to use it. And I want you in the middle of the day to say, today, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm here. What do you want? And I want you to say to Dave, Dave, I want you to go do this. I want you to go speak to that person. I want you to go care for that person. We were at the restaurant this week, and my wife said, man, I just thought she was bad. She said, our waitress is really hurting today. I was like, oh. She says, I'm going to give him some money. I said, oh, well, if that's what God wants you to do. It's so much fun to just follow the Lord. She went out and she did that. Gal, you could tell, she just melted. I'm just saying, we get to follow the living God and say, I'm here to be your sacrifice. When God said to Moses, consecrate the people, he said, so that you can be my special treasure, a kingdom of priests, a holy people. It is the same for the New Testament church. We get to be his treasure. We live our lives with his name on us. We are Christians, called and forgiven. And we are priests who stand between the people in the world and God, proclaiming the excellencies of our God. And so this morning, I want to call you to consecrate yourself. And I'm going to walk you through it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you in a few minutes to just bow your heads where you are, and I'm going to ask you to just think, just do business with God. You can do whatever you want. We are open to you doing it. If you want to come up here and kneel down, I tried out yesterday. It's really hard floor, but it works. I mean, if you want to just say, I got to make a bigger statement today, I got to come up forward and just say, God, I want to give myself back to you. You can do it. You can do it in your seat. You can do it wherever you want. I just want to ask you, as I share some thoughts with you, I want to ask you to say, just ask God, God, work in me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and take their place. They're going to lead us in a closing song after we have some time to think through where we are. So let me pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you just to keep your heads bowed. I'm going to keep mine bowed because I'm just going to be asking God what to share. And so, Heavenly Father, today we come before you. We are grateful, Lord, for this beautiful facility. But it's nothing if we aren't committed to you. Lord, there is a waste of good things if our hearts aren't burning for Christ. If we aren't lit up to serve you well, then it's all for nothing. And so today, Lord, I ask that you would work, that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to hearts and minds in this place. I'm going to begin by going through some things that you may want to repent of. And if it's not you, don't worry about it. But if it is, then take time to repent. Just keep your heads bowed if you would. I'd like you just to deal with God. You know, renouncing sin means to repent. And it may be that you need to renounce something in your life. Maybe there's foul language that you just can't break. Maybe there's something you got to just ask God to forgive you for. Maybe there's bitterness or unforgiveness and you have not been willing to let go of it. And today you need to do that. Ask God to search you and to tell you what it is you need to repent of. Maybe you've been involved in New Age things or in the occult. So many times people carelessly get involved in them, and other times they just are looking for a power that will work. But if you've been involved in those things, you can just ask God to forgive you for it, renounce it. Maybe you've been angry with God for a long time about something. And today it's time for you to let go of that anger and reach back for his hand. Maybe there are sexual sins that you've been doing and making all the excuses for why it's okay for you. You can repent of that today. Maybe you're covered by worries and you worry about everything. And you're sure everything's going wrong and bad and you have to fix it and you can't fix it. And if that's true, you can ask him to forgive you. and ask him to show you what trust looks like. We are called to renounce sin and to dedicate ourselves to him for the kingdom to come and be more powerful. More of the world has to go. What has captured your heart? Maybe there's something in your life that's good. It's not a sin, but it's becoming an idol because you want it much more than you want God. We are to dedicate ourselves to him. What are you willing to trade for more of God? Are you willing to trade some screen time so that you have some time to read the Bible and meditate on it? Are you willing to get up earlier so that you have some time to pray? What are you willing to give up to have more? And finally this morning, are you ready to make a sacrifice of yourself to the Lord? I don't know what he's calling you to. He calls some of us to hard things. Some of you he calls to going through hard illnesses. And I pray that you would just live for his glory right through it. Some of you he calls to let go of things you desperately wanted in this world to find him. What I know is, what I give up for God, he more than overwhelmingly blesses me with good. Father, today, we ask that you would take our lives, make us your servants, so that we don't just have a nice building, that we have a nice building filled with people who are on fire for God.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.